Heavenly Father, this morning we remember your great love for us. A love that isn't far away, but a love that goes out of its way to reach us, no matter where we are in life. So help us remember that truth, Lord, as we look closer at your word today. And also the truth that you call us to be the hands and feet of helping you bring the needs, meet the needs of others in this world around us. We ask it all in our precious Savior's name. I truly believe that our passage this morning is a beautiful passage of Scripture. To me, it speaks of love and acceptance, and of Jesus going that extra mile to meet the temporal and eternal needs of other people. The good news about that is that Jesus never changes. We are told in Hebrews 13:8 that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that Jesus' love, his acceptance, and his willingness to meet us where we are, no matter what our situation is just as true now as it was back then when he went out of his way to speak with a woman from Samaria who had come to get some water from a well. As we will see, this woman had some specific needs. But perhaps you've noticed that everyone has needs. No matter how well people are doing in life or how badly, they have needs both temporal and eternal. You can have no bank account, or you can have a bank account with millions of dollars in it and still lack some of the most important things in life. Things like faith, hope, and love, comfort, rest, and peace. As Christians, we have God's promise to meet all of our needs. Because Philippians 4:19 says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's an amazing truth that God has promised to meet all of our needs, no matter what they are. And this situation with the Samaritan woman shows us how Jesus wants to meet our greatest needs in life. And what he does in this passage of Scripture is also an example for you and for me to be his hands and feet by helping him meet the needs of those around us. As we look at this story, I think that the first need that this woman had was the need for a friend, and Jesus provided that. This Samaritan woman at the well needed someone to love her, someone to care about her, someone to show her that she was important despite what others thought about her and said about her. We could tell that she was a lonely woman from what is said in our passage this morning. We are told in verses 6 to 7 that at that well, Jesus arrived there tired after his journey, and it was around the sixth hour, and there was a Samaritan woman there to get water from the well. Now, at first glance, that may not seem like such a big deal. But this woman came to draw water at the sixth hour. That's 12 o'clock noon in the Middle Eastern sun. And I'm sure Randy can tell you that 12 noon in that area of the world is pretty hot. And nobody came to draw water at that time of day. It was just too hot to haul those heavy water jars all the way back home. But here she was. She was all alone. Probably because she didn't want to see the stares of other people or hear their comments about her lifestyle. She had very likely been rejected by her neighbors. So she came to that well in the heat of the day to avoid their gossip and their stares. Here was a woman with some troubled relationships and broken relationships. And Jesus, being Jesus, didn't sit around mincing words because he brought her past right into the open. Beginning in verse 15, we are told that the woman said to Jesus, after he told her that he could give her living water, she said, "Sir, give me this water that I won't get thirsty and have to return to this well." But Jesus knew that before someone could receive eternal life, before they could receive his living water, that they had to deal with their past by getting rid of it and turning to him. So Jesus quite plainly said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you are right. Wow, talk about getting right to the heart of the matter. But you know what? That's what Jesus always does. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't just pat us on the back and hold our hand and tell us that everything is okay when it isn't. He deals with the issues of our heart right away. We can see from these few verses that this woman had a long history of broken relationships. She had 5 failed marriages and a current relationship that was just too weak for commitment. Just think of the angry, hateful words she must have heard. Think of the rejection and the abandonment she probably went through. Each failure pulled her down further, until maybe she gave up completely on ever having a positive, selfless, loving relationship. But here was Jesus. He loved her, and he wanted to be her friend. So how can we tell from that passage that Jesus loved this woman? Well, first, it was by his walk. Back in verse 4, we are told that Jesus had to go through Samaria. But geographically, he didn't. You see, to travel from Judea to Galilee, any self-respecting Jew would never, ever go through Samaria. Samaria was the last place that most Jewish people would go. And to get from Judea to Galilee, most Jewish people went the long way around, on the other side of the Jordan River. It took a road that almost doubled the journey to 112 kilometers just to avoid the Samaritans. You know, Jesus could have done that, but we're told that he went through Samaria. Why? It was because he cared about this woman. He loved her, and because she had a need. He didn't need to go through Samaria for travel purposes, but he needed to go because there was a hurting and broken soul that needed him. He needed to go there to save this woman at the well. Verse 6 also tells us that Jesus walked until he was weary. This ministry to one precious soul cost him physically. But he was willing to go the distance for this woman because he loved her and because he wanted to be her friend. Just like he loves each and every one of us and wants to be our friend too. So we can see the love of Jesus in his walk, and we can also hear it in his talk. This woman was shocked when Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Listen to what she said. She said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? She couldn't believe that Jesus would even consider her worthy to talk to. That's because most Jewish people at that time would never, ever talk to a Samaritan. And that hatred was mutual. It was a racial and a religious divide that started hundreds of years earlier, when the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians, and the Jews who were left in Samaria intermarried with outsiders. So to the Jews of Jesus' day, the Samaritans were nothing more than half-breeds. On top of that, this was a woman. We don't really think about that much today. But back then, to the Jews of that day, talking to a woman in public was against all social norms. And no devout Jew would be caught dead talking to a notorious sinner like this Samaritan woman. But in steps Jesus, the one who had created them all. He stepped in and crossed all kinds of barriers when he talked to this woman. Needless to say, it surprised her. Just like it surprises many people today when they truly realize that God has a personal interest in their lives. But he didn't sit there and talk about the weather, politics, or religion. Instead, he spoke the truth. The truth that needed to be spoken to her to bring her into a relationship with himself, her creator, her new friend, and soon to be savior. He knew all about her. But he didn't condemn her or criticize her. He just spoke the truth in love. In verse 10, the Lord started telling this woman how her life could be changed forever and how she could have a better life this side of heaven. Because Jesus said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Jesus spoke with kindness, with patience, with understanding, and with concern. He genuinely wanted to be her friend. And why did he love her? Was it because she was pretty or smart? Was it because she was a good wife or an employee of the month? No. It's because, as 1 John 4:16 tells us, God is love. Love is the Lord's nature. Not only did he love this woman, he loves all of us more than we could ever know. So this morning, if you need true love, if you need a true friend, just call on Jesus, and he will come and meet that need. This, as I said, is a beautiful story in the Bible. But we need to ask ourselves, why is it there? Is it just there for us to read and to say to ourselves, "Wow, wonderful job, Jesus. You're awesome. I think I'll sing what a friend we have in Jesus." Now, don't get me wrong. We should do that. But God placed this story in the Bible to show us by example of how to live our Christian lives as the hands and feet of Jesus. We live in a society where there are many people who are deemed off limits. Groups of people that perhaps no one else will talk to or socialize with. I'm sure that all of you know people who are like that. It could be people at work, people downtown, or even people at church. People who have problems, people who are different, poor, socially awkward, people of another race or religion, or someone with special needs. You know, the sad part of being human is that we are much more capable of erecting walls and barriers than we are of breaking them down. We can draw lines in the sand. We can separate. We can divide. And we can do all of that on the basis of economic status, social status, race, religion, geography, church denomination, and theology. And it happens in and outside of the church. And what's sad is that usually once these barriers are built, we reinforce them with time and stubbornness. But Jesus came to show us a different way. He crossed those borders. He entered enemy territory to talk to a woman who needed him. And guess what? He wants us to do the same. Jesus wants us to tear down those walls that we hold inside of ourselves, that hold us inside of ourselves and away from other people. Those walls that hold us back and hold us in, they're not walls that are built with bricks. They are built with things that are much, much stronger. Things like fear and prejudice, hatred, bitterness, self-superiority, pride, and pretension. It's a problem in God's eyes when these walls prevent us from treating people like people. Treating them the way Jesus would treat them, the way he wants us to treat them. As one biblical scholar comments, Jesus summons the church to stop shaping its life according to societal definitions of who is acceptable and to show the same openness to those who are different that Jesus did when he traveled to Samaria. The church is asked to cross boundaries as Jesus does instead of constructing them. So I think it's fair for us to ask the question, who are the Samaritans in your life? And who are the Samaritans in my life? Who are the ones we think of as unacceptable, who we don't associate with, because, and we can fill in our own blanks. You know, Jesus went out of his way for this woman at the well. He met her need for a friend, but he also met her need for forgiveness. Jesus traveled that hostile and dusty road to give this woman the spiritual water that gives eternal life. But like all of us, she had to face up to the sin in her life. He offered eternal life to her. And she wanted that water. She said, "Give me this water so that I will never get thirsty again." This woman's needs reached far deeper than her need for a friend. She needed life transformation. She needed the living water that only Jesus could provide, the living water that washes us clean, gives us a new start, and directs our path towards heaven. But Jesus shows us that it takes more than just asking for it. Because Jesus didn't say to her after she asked, "Well, here it is, it's yours." Instead, he had to deal with the issues of her heart, a heart that was mired in sin and immorality. So Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." But Jesus didn't really want her husband to come back. She didn't have one. He was just getting to the heart of the matter. The fact that she had five husbands and was now living with a man outside of wedlock. But she could have lied. She could have tried to avoid the embarrassment of telling the truth. But she humbled herself and revealed her heart. She was honest with Jesus, who already knew the answer. She said to him, "I have no husband." And Jesus replied, "You are right. What you have said is quite true." You see, before she could receive the forgiveness that her soul desired, before she could receive the living water that Jesus was offering her, she had to get to the point where she got honest with Jesus and not cover up her past and her present way of living. We know that the woman at the well needed forgiveness. And it wasn't just because she had been married five times and not just because she was living out of wedlock. We know that she needed forgiveness because everybody needs God's forgiveness. Now, that's not a comfortable message in our world today, but that is why Jesus came into the world. That's why he died upon the cross. He took the punishment for our sins, and when we repent of them, then we can receive the risen Savior. God's salvation is a wonderful thing, but we can never earn it. We could never deserve it. But God wants to give it to us because he loves us. Jesus reached out to the woman at the well with his love and with his mercy. And that is the way that he reaches out to all of us today. Jesus went out of his way to meet this woman's need for a friend and her need for forgiveness. But he also went out of his way that day to meet her need for fulfillment. Like I was talking about last week, many people today run around as fast as they can, trying to find fulfillment in money, prestige, sports, entertainment, or even the way that they look. But the reality is that they are living two-dimensional lives in a three-dimensional world. That's because living without God isn't really living at all. But life is only found in a relationship with God, the Father. And when we have that relationship, a huge part of our fulfillment will come from true worship. It's amazing how this conversation between Jesus and this woman turned around to where people should worship. Jesus said that he was the Messiah. He said, "I am the one who is speaking to you, and that I am he." Jesus was trying to lead this lost and lonely woman to the living water was only found by faith in him. And since Jesus showed her that he knew all about her life, she knew that he was somebody special. So maybe out of curiosity, or maybe just trying to change the subject away from her life, she asked the Lord about the place of worship. And Jesus basically told her, "Here's the place of true worship. It's not in Samaria. It's not in Jerusalem. The real place of worship is in your spirit. Right within your heart." So as we come to church on a Sunday morning, yes, we come here to worship, but don't forget that true worship resides within our souls. And that worship is something we need to continue each and every day of our lives. Finally, Jesus met many needs for this lady. But the final thing was for her to start a new life. I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel like I need fresh starts in life. And in verses 25 to 29, this troubled woman got a brand new start. When she heard and when she accepted the truth that Jesus gave her, we are told that she left her water pot right there by the well and went into the city. But she didn't keep quiet. She didn't care what people thought of her now or what they would say. Instead, she said to the people there, "Come, see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town and made their way towards him. Wow, what a change. That lost and lonely woman who went to the well for a drink of regular water had found the living water, and her life was never the same again. The burden of her sin was now gone. She was forgiven and she was full of life. She had received a brand new start. Before she had met Jesus, she was as hopeless and as helpless as she could be. But then Jesus came into her life and changed everything. At the beginning of the story, she hid from the people in her town. But now she hurried to tell them about Jesus. She wanted everyone to know about the man who had given her a fresh start. Jesus gave this woman a brand new beginning. And he does that for every single one of us. Whether it's for the first time when we come to our knees in him, or even after being Christians for 40 or 50 years, and we feel like we need a fresh start. You know, we're not alone. Moses needed a fresh start, and so did Jonah after he ran away from God, and so did Peter after he denied the Lord. God is always willing for us to start a new day with him when we recommit our lives to him. The Lord is willing to give us all a fresh and brand new start, something that will take our lives in a whole new direction, a direction that we will want to share with other people. We will want to share the good news that Jesus wants to be our friend, that he forgives us of our sins, that he gives us true fulfillment when we worship him with our lives and from our heart, and that he and he alone can give us a brand new start in life.